Are you a prepper or homesteader looking to connect with like-minded people in your area? Looking to start your own preparedness group? Already have a group? Well, look no further than PrepperNet. PrepperNet is dedicated to personal responsibility, individual freedoms, and being self-reliant. PrepperNet has monthly meetings in over 100 cities where you can meet and learn with like-minded people in your area. PrepperNet, where preppers unite. Find us online at PrepperNet.com.
Survive, thrive, stay alive. It's time to get prepared with the Prepping Academy podcast.
All right, everyone. Probably should have taken a drink there first. Hey, welcome to PrepperNet Live. I am Forrest. We're getting the show started. We got some amazing people in the green room. We're going to bring out. I got a few announcements I want to go through first. We're getting started early. You notice I usually wait longer for people to join, but hey, not tonight. We got big names in the green room. So hey, want to let everybody know this is a live stream not only for PrepperNet members, but mostly for PrepperNet members. Just to kind of let you guys know what's going on, and we're still around. If you know. You have bi-weekly meetings or monthly meetings, whatever you have, or your group is not meeting right now. But we're here, so that's what we're here. Make sure you join PrepperNet.net. Here I am. That's me. That's my four books I've written. If you don't read them, you'll probably die in the apocalypse anyway. So you might as well go ahead and buy them now and not worry about it. And also, hey, check out our podcast called Prepping Academy, Uncle Buck and I. And sometimes special guests, special guests will come on. So join that, whatever your favorite podcast method is. Greg and I work good together, but I love giving Greg a hard time. His code name's Uncle Buck. Everybody knows them. Hey, we have all kinds of events going on in PrepperNet every single week, from our national ZelloNet to Sisterhood ZelloNet, which guys are not allowed on that. I've tried, and they won't let me join. We do 40 meters, and we do all kinds of nets. We got things going on almost every night of the month, PrepperNet. But you got to join PrepperNet.net to be a member of that, to see what's going on. PrepperNet.net. That is where we communicate. So you can. I know you may be on the meetups, but not a good place to communicate with everyone. And then let's see the next slide. We got, okay, this weekend we got a big event called Mountain Readiness. It's in Harmony, North Carolina. They still have tickets, a lot of tickets, I think. I'm not sure. MountainReadiness.com. I'm going to be there for sure. I'm actually teaching three classes a day, which if I could, can I say the S word? And yeah, it sucks. It does because, well, so Sonovan's going to be there, and my partner Tripp forgot that he has this like wedding anniversary, and they're already booked a cruise. So I'm teaching the Sonovan class, and then I'm teaching my class on survival groups and my class on entrepreneurship for survival. So I'm teaching three classes a day. It's going to kill me. And also, guess who else is going to be there? If you look right there in the middle right there, you see a doctor and a nurse, I guess. Dr. Bones and Nurse Amy, which are in the green room. You heard them laughing a second ago. But they're going to be there. It's going to be a great experience. We're getting there. You know, we'll be there Friday set up, ready for everybody to come in. We're going to have like I don't know what it is. Beth will describe it in the chat room. Her name, if you see a BG, that's Beth. We have social. She's already posted. Oh my goodness. She's already ahead of me. We're having a big social Friday night. Come and Beth, if you'll tell everybody what they need to bring, definitely bring a chair. There'll be no chairs on site. So you got to bring your own chairs. So, come and join us Saturday night. Beth will give you all the details. You'll come by the booth and get the information as well, I guess. So, let's see. I think that's all I have. Oh, I'm giving away a Sonovan. So it's everything. It's actually more than $679. I did the calculations on it and my calculator came to an E. I don't know what that means, but it came to an E. It's that valuable, and it will be that valuable when the grid goes down and you're trying to, you know, warm up some food on a fire. People see you burning something. They'll come and, you know, they'll invite themselves to dinner. This prevents that. So anyway, enter the Sun Oven, go to preppernet.com/giveaway and you can enter. All I need is your email. And because I got to let you know you won. And if you don't respond when I send you an email, you don't win. We'll give it to someone else. So anyway, and I hate that too, cause it takes forever. So anyway, so without, oh, one last thing. I forgot about this slide. Hey, we are supported by your memberships. We have a premium membership. It's $40 a year. That's literally five coffees from Starbucks. I mean, seriously, the drinks you guys drink, some of you guys. It's like $40 a year. And here's the thing. We can provide more services and more content and more of what you want the more people that join. That's plain and simple. And that's what we're doing that for. There's some courses in there that we've created. It is, I mean, literally when you join and become a member, it's almost like being in heaven, because we're here for you. We're going to hear, protect you and teach you. It's not like the same in heaven. I don't know. I just made that up. That's kind of what I do. But anyway, I would introduce you to Dr. Bones and Nurse Amy, but guess who is not in her seat right now in the green room? She is gone. Oh, here she comes. She ran back. Okay, here we go. So you had to go get some water, didn't you?
No, lip gloss.
Oh my goodness. Oh, let me put mine on. Sorry.
It's for me.
Yeah, he's missing all of them.
Yeah. Well, this is the famous Dr. Bones and Nurse Amy. That's Joe and Amy Alton. And they have been doing this in the prepping arena for as long as I've been born. They're good friends and I love them. And we talk on the phone. I just call them randomly and y'all never randomly call me. I've noticed that.
Well, maybe we will.
Because he's busy.
You're a busy man.
You run like, we're just, I don't know, 45 companies. Yeah. You're like Elon Musk.
You are.
I'm lucky if I get a text back from you.
You're the prepper Elon Musk.
One of the things I was going to do, and I totally forgot, is I was going to get the first time I interviewed you guys on a podcast.
Oh, boy.
I was so embarrassed. Do you remember that at all? I don't get embarrassed often. I really don't.
Why would you be embarrassed?
Because I'm going to tell you guys, and you'll remember this. It was probably the most I've been embarrassed ever in my PrepperNet days, ever. Okay. I invited you guys on. I forgot your name. I don't know. Do y'all remember that?
Did you call me John?
I don't remember. Something like that. And then I forgot your book name. Because I was introducing the book name and I couldn't get it right. And I remember my face was just red.
Aww, we didn't notice the thing for us.
And I was wanting to play that tonight because just
snippets, snippets of the past.
Hey, so I can't wait to see you guys this weekend. Yeah. We haven't seen each other since.
Right. Yeah, we're excited.
Tennessee, I guess.
Yeah,
October.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of
October.
It's going to be a lot of fun. You got a lot of folks there that know a lot about preparedness, and so
it's a good it's a really good important. Number of teachers and
I know, right?
Yes.
Classes all day. I mean, you really have to like clone yourself and bring friends to take notes because there's like three or four sometimes classes at the same time.
Oh yeah, at the same time. Yeah,
you yes.
almost have yep. like yeah. bring a bunch of tape recorders and just put them at each stage.
Yeah.
Well, when people come to my class, I'm going to give them a mark. That way, when I walk around, I can make sure everyone comes to my classes. If they don't, I'm kidding.
You've got it all planned.
You know, I tell you what, I have some amazing people. We have some amazing people in PrepperNet because I teach a class called Survival Groups. And that's mostly to get people to introduce them to PrepperNet. there are some people that have said in that class at least 10 to 15 times just to support me teaching that class. And it is crazy. So, hey, well, welcome. I've been looking forward to this, and I've told everyone for a couple, 3 months now that we're going to have some mystery guests on our last show. You're the mystery surprise. And my thinking was, okay, I'm going to just reveal them live on the show. And I'm like, wait, well, I need to tell people who it's going to be, or but they might not come. So anyway,
especially if you tell them it's us.
Right. No. So, I'm going to ask you some questions. And we're going to joke around and have a good time. And then a little bit later in the chat room, people are going to ask questions, and we're going to talk about, okay, you are teaching a class. Is it full?
We have the
suture class.
Yes.
So
we had a cancellation. We had one.
We had a cancellation, and then we had someone buy one last night at, I don't know, midnight, and then he canceled at 12 o'clock today. He has to work.
Oh.
I'm back to 15, but the class has 8. We're going to do 18, or we're going to do 16.
16 is what I'd like to do. I mean, but you know, if it comes, push comes to shove, we'll do 18. But I've got to be able
18
to see
max.
This
so
class,
we're at 15.
Yeah, this class is a suture and stapling class. It's a hands-on class for people, and you can't leave the class until I'm happy that you can close a wound,
and I'm happy,
and you're happy that you can close
he
a wound.
He always says that,
right? Our students have to be able to. I mean, sometimes I take, you know, I use pig's feet, or we use pig's feet, yep, for
went
the template.
Publix today and got some,
right? And I'm going to have to be able to take your stitch and swing that pig's feet over my head and make sure that thing doesn't fall apart.
We're not going to have pig's juice flying all over my students.
So that is this weekend at Harmony. So there's still room if someone wants to sign up.
I do want to say, although that class is a paid class, the lecture part of the class is absolutely free. So if you want to sit in the back and watch the lecture,
but
which is very...
Bring your own chair.
Bring your own chair.
And also, I'll be giving a talk on the survival medic and basically everything that you need to know to determine how to be the medic for a group in times of trouble. And so we're going to talk about the likely medical issues you're going to face, what your responsibilities really are as survival medic, which you're going to be surprised about. And we're going to talk about a lot of the individual issues that you're going to find that you're going to be having to take care of if you are the highest medical asset left
most
to your
commonly
people.
Found.
Yes.
Right. Most commonly right. found issues.
So I threw up a comment on the screen. Can y'all read that?
Yes.
Only with my glasses.
Favorite Dr. Bones moment is when you poured 2 cups of hand sanitizer and Amy laughed at you, of course.
Yeah, I was
constantly entertained. Oh, yeah, we've had some dispensers that you know, you push on it and like your whole hand fills up with hand sanitizer. Mm-hmm. Whoever has quality control for the pumps that they put in these hand sanitizers, not paying attention.
But sometimes I just do it to annoy you.
That is true.
Use hand sanitizer to annoy her, but use a lot of hand sanitizer to annoy
her. And then
her.
It's like all slime.
Well, Amy does what my wife, when I do something that's, I guess, annoying or not. Well, she doesn't think it's funny, but she just rolls her eyes and just is like,
yes, you know, no, I get more of a reaction than that out of her. Usually she whacks me on the back of the head.
No, your marbles would be too loose.
But
if I
have
that.
To tell you that annoying her is one of the little joys in life for me.
What?
You know, anything I can do
to
annoy her.
Too.
Yeah. It's
what is
wonderful.
With this?
It's just wonderful.
I
just have you just a little bit angry at me, just a little annoyed at me and saying, you know, what are you doing?
And my dad, Joe? My dad has said numerous times when he's seen me get like, he's like, Amy, he's just pulling your chain. I cannot stop reacting. I'll be 90 years old and I'll be like, what are you doing that for?
That's funny. So guys, how did you get, I mean, okay, let me ask a question. Are you really a nurse? Are you really a doctor? I mean, or did you go buy one on the internet?
I know, right? Oh, you know what's so annoying? Every 2 years in Florida,
you're going to show me your license, aren't you?
Yeah. Every 2 years in Florida, you have to renew your license. There's mine.
That's right. Let's see. Mine's here too.
Yeah, and you don't have to show me your license.
There we go.
So, for everyone, before we went live, I was pulling a joke on them. And yeah, they didn't know it was a joke.
Yeah.
but I told him, I said, listen, a lot of people do like an EDC dump and what's in your pockets, you know. I said, I'm going to do a wallet dump. Let's see your gold cards front and back, and let's see the cash. USBs. Yeah.
One of my USBs.
And she pulled out her her nursing license. And Dr. Joe got up to get his wallet because he thought it was serious.
I thought I'm supposed to get
it. Listen, he's good at following orders, you know.
I thought that was hilarious. And I'm like, guys, I'm just kidding on that. And so anyway, you are a doctor and a nurse, because everybody kind of wonders that. I mean,
it's very simple. There's nothing to wonder. If you want to know if somebody's a medical professional, at least in the state of Florida, there's a medical board, there's a website, you can search, you can find out if their license is active, you can find out, oh wait, you got to back that up a little bit.
Yeah, they're real deal.
And it's an active license. Although we are retired from actively seeing patients.
Yeah.
You know,
but he asked me a question.
Oh, what's your question?
So I'm trying to answer.
Oh, absolutely.
So in each state in the country, if you're wondering if somebody's a medical professional, especially you see these people on YouTube, and I'm not going to mention one chick that has been on YouTube for like, do not say her name, but you don't know her name. You can't find out. She claims she's a registered nurse. She claims she went to this school or that school. If you don't know her name, then you don't know if she actually is a registered nurse or some, you know, something else, we'll say. Okay. So people can make claims, but you know what? Back it up, and you need to allow people to look you up and find out if your credentials that you're claiming to have are actually true. So anyway, Florida split my license. It's really ridiculous. I now have to renew two licenses. I have to renew my RN and my apron. They changed my initials. I'm now advanced practice registered nurse, which is a
nurse practitioner.
Nurse practitioner. They just, I don't know.
Well, y'all got the kind of wrong kind of license. When I got my license to marry people, it was a one-time fee.
And yes, that was it.
Yeah, that's true. Right? You know what? That's not a bad thing. Maybe they should have a marriage licenses renewed. And if you don't renew it, then it just goes away. Screw this divorce stuff that everyone has to go through. If you just forgot to go to the state, you're like,
yeah.
Okay.
Sorry, hon. I didn't renew it.
How did you guys take your medical profession and then literally, I mean, I know you retired, but a lot of people retire and live in their houses. They go to Tennessee, they go to Florida, they go back and forth a lot, and just retire. But you guys kind of said, hey, let's just get into the prepper and survival and the home. I mean, in that genre, and started a business. I mean, why?
Hey, let's take a quick break.
Has your data been hacked? Do you feel uneasy about the vulnerability of your personal information online? Were you involved in the Target, LinkedIn, or Microsoft data leaks? Don't know? If not, then pay attention. Join Forrest Garvin from PrepperNet for a free webinar on privacy and security. Gain insights into safe internet browsing, VPNs, crafting online aliases, secure emails, detecting if your data has been hacked, and managing passwords. Secure your spot today for this webinar on privacy and security. It's free. This webinar delves into comprehensive strategies for bolstering your online privacy. We've got you covered, from fortifying your passwords to shielding your financial information and mastering state-of-the-art encryption techniques. We're offering two convenient dates to suit your schedule. Reserve your spot now at preppernet.com/privacy. Don't let cyber threats erode your peace of mind any longer. Take the first step toward a safer, more secure online experience by joining us for our free webinar. Remember, knowledge is power when it comes to safeguarding your privacy. Sign up now at PrepperNet.com/privacy. We'll see you there.
Go ahead.
We retired probably, it's been 20 years since we've been retired from active practice, believe it or not. And I mean, before I met Amy, I had
Is there before you met Amy?
Not
does
official.
That really exist? I mean,
she
honestly,
denies it, but you know,
if we're looking at histories, does that really exist?
Well, we call that era BA, B before Amy. So,
all right. Anyway, go ahead.
So I had volunteered for disaster assistance teams before for Hurricane Andrew in 1992.
Yep.
I did that, so I had some experience with that. And shortly after I retired, we basically got Hurricane Katrina, and we saw all these situations where we had lots of disaster medical assistance teams available, but we didn't have people give people a way for them to actually access help if they needed it. Right. So we wound up having a lot of victims that, because of flooding, couldn't be connected with the hundreds of disaster medical assistance personnel that were coming on and converging onto the Gulf Coast even before the event had occurred. So, you know, this is something that I felt was really important. You know, if we could actually teach people,
right,
you know, some medical skills, how to deal with some medical equipment, put some supplies in their hands, that possibly we can avoid some unnecessary deaths, things like what happened during Katrina. And for us, we just decided to start talking about it.
Well, I will say that another thing besides that was we were getting threats of pandemics. This 2006, 2007,
swine
2008.
Flu.
I mean, every season it was like, oh, we might have a pandemic. We might have this. We're worried about this. We don't know how contagious this is. And we just kept having a lot of threats. And one day we just started talking about, Joe loves history. And we have a lot of old books. We collect old books from places that we traveled. And I was like, well, you know, what happens in this day and age if we have some serious pandemic? And we started talking about the Spanish flu, which he knew a lot about. And in today's age, and obviously I'm preaching to the choir here because we've all experienced what Joe and I talked about in 2009, which was, well, it will probably travel quickly. There's planes, there's trains, people can get from China to California in a few hours. And it would just, if it was contagious, airborne, which obviously COVID is, it would spread throughout the entire world. And then depending on the death rate, what would happen to our medical system? And they could be overwhelmed like we saw they were. I mean, I personally tried to go to the ER 3 times at some point during COVID, and they just were too overwhelmed and they wouldn't let him in. So I said, screw it. I'm just going to go home and die. So see you later.
So,
but anyway, that's what we talked about. And so these things kind of converged together. And when we started looking about what are people out there teaching folks that don't have medical training, if something like we had made a scenario about happened.
And who was doing the teaching?
Right.
I mean, there weren't any doctors and there weren't any nurse practitioners that were really talking about medical preparedness for disasters, medical preparedness for, you know, what hits the fan situations. And the reason we tried to figure out really why that was, you know, because we were looking for sources from doctors and saying, so that we could learn
exactly
about it. But,
and so also during our prepping, because we were started, that stimulated extra prepping. We were already hurricane preppers and we were like extra prepping. And we're like, okay, I want to get a list of what supplies I should have at home. And what should we think about if we don't have that medical technology, the electricity, all the things that we've relied on, the things that we learned in school? What are we going to do? So we were looking for a source ourselves
to help us
get medically prepared.
For example, some doctor who had written previously that was actually a doctor about what it is that you really should have, you know, in your medical kit. And we were getting folks that weren't as highly trained as we were,
right,
talking about that, but nobody was willing to do that. And we realized that the reason why
much about technology,
right. And considering the limited availability to technology,
right,
you know, that you would have, it really didn't make sense for true survival situations. So we needed to have somebody who would be willing to write about situations with the mindset that the average person has become the highest medical asset left to their family.
Right.
And we did that, and we realized that no one else was writing about that. That was a doctor, for example, because these were relatively young people that were interested in, the people that were interested in it were young people, but they wouldn't be willing to speak about it because they were afraid of going against the conventional medical wisdom. You go against the conventional medical wisdom and you might lose your license.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And so if you have if you're a 35-year-old doctor and you've got, three kids that are less than 10 years old, you're not going to want to lose your license, because you're saying crazy things like we say,
right,
in terms of the zombie apocalypse, type settings. And so we felt that we had that freedom because, we
were retired.
We have active licenses.
If our license were taken away, it would not have changed that we said our lives.
Wouldn't change us.
I mean, right. It would upset us because we went to school for a really, really long time.
Right.
I mean, I went to school for college for 7 years. That would upset us. And you went to school for, 45 years.
45 years.
Well, I'm 16 years from a medical degree.
Are you?
Yeah, from day one.
That's closer than some.
So,
we needed to have somebody who would be willing to write about this. And so we started writing about it.
Mm-hmm.
We filled a niche.
Okay. So since that time, has this movement, have you seen it change? Has it gotten better? Has it gotten worse? Has it gotten more focused? What has changed over the last, almost 15 years?
Well, I would say that there's a slight increase in the actual, in general interest in preparedness, but it really waxes and wanes based on what the situation is in the world today. And right now, the situation in the world today isn't so great. And you might agree with me, Forrest, that the world is not safer any safer today than it was before. As a matter of fact, it's probably less safe. Mm-hmm. I mean, in some of my talks, I had slides of the general types of disasters that you would experience, and I had all the natural disasters, and I had economic collapse, and I had things like that. But I found myself adding over time active shooters. I found myself adding chemical emergencies from train derailments. Mm-hmm. And now, of course, there's always the threat of nuclear war because of what's going on in Ukraine and because we have a lot of bad actors in the world today that
crazy
are
crazy Putin
that mm-hmm. and he's not the only crazy one out there that has access to nuclear weapons.
Right.
And so
North Korea wacko.
Right. And so there's more stuff that people are worried about. And so recently we really have seen an increase in, let's say, the number of people in our survival medicine group on Facebook. We have over 8,000 people now on that. And I'm getting a lot of personal emails from people saying, hey, what do I do about this? What do I do about that? And by the way, those are always welcome. You can call me or email me at DR or Amy at drbonespodcast@aol.com. We call it OLD.com.
Oh yeah. I'm watching the chat here. I'm going to agree. I grew up with a father who was in the Air Force and became an airline mechanic for Eastern Airlines, if anybody remembers that.
Yes.
My dad fixed everything that happened to him, and he came every day with some kind of laceration, cut, burn, some super glue and duct tape.
Mm-hmm.
Literally, yep. You can do anything in the world with super glue and duct tape, generally speaking. I could probably make a tourniquet out of duct tape if I had to. Absolutely. So they were talking about yes. What?
Next question. Have you emailed me my 500? No.
Wait, didn't I show you my credit card? Yeah,
you did, but yeah, I didn't.
You asked for it front and back.
If you didn't record that, that's on you.
Yeah, I wasn't being recorded.
He's not actually making notes. He's actually practicing your signature.
So, in the prepping world, mm-hmm. Are you happy with the people that have a desire and see the need for medical, or do you think it should be more? Because everyone,
wait, are you talking about the people who are trying to learn it, or the people who are trying to teach it?
In general, for example, in the prepping world, there's less than 1% of people that really know ham radios, and they learn it and they practice it. It's a small percentage. So they're diamonds in the rough, meaning they're good catches for any survival group. Mm-hmm. Medical I think is higher than that, but do you think there should be more people that are pursuing, like, just even the basic wilderness or the classes you guys teach? Should there be more, or is the ratio? I know you're going to say more. You'd be crazy not to.
Well, I have to say, I've got to say that it's got to be more. I mean, you have to know what our mission is. Our mission is to put a medically prepared person in every family. Okay. So that means that I need somebody in every family. I need an army of medics to get through what I believe to be the coming hard times. And so that's why we spend all our time, you know, talking about this stuff, mm-hmm. and writing, and we write books and we do videos and have podcasts and stuff like that. But the truth of the matter is that this impetus to learn about medical stuff, I mean, it's got to come from within. People have to really look at the world, and they have to decide that, hey, you know what? Things aren't going so well. And, you know, things are, you know, maybe beginning to go in this downward spiral. You know, I mean, it's gone everywhere from economic stuff. And now there's this group called BRICS, which is Brazil, Russia, India, China, and South Africa, right, that want to go away from the dollar, I think maybe go to the yuan, the Chinese currency, you know, for international trade. I mean, the second that gains steam, you know, we become no longer the superpower that we were,
right,
you know. And so that's happening from an economic standpoint. We have, you know, people are not afraid to, you know, not stand up to us only, but, you know, to physically do things to our people. You know, and I really think that, I mean, you know, just fly over with balloons, you know, and,
oh my gosh,
and things like that. So I just think that anybody that's got half a brain should take a look at it and say, hey, you know what? One day the ambulance might not be heading in my direction.
Right.
You know, or the rescue helicopter might not be just over the horizon. And I may have to know some stuff, and I may have to maybe have some supplies that would make sense to deal with some of the common issues that might occur, you know, if medical help was not going to be on the way. And so that became sort of our catchphrase, you know, what to do when help is not on the way.
Hey, let's take a quick break.
Hi, this is Ashley T. Lee Podcast. Join me to hear the Bible read line by line and clearly explained. Listen to the Word of God in your car or home or work while it transforms your mind daily. Romans 12:2 says, "Don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, which is good and acceptable and perfect." Knowing the Bible can give you peace and joy in this hectic world. Listen weekly to Ashley T. Lee Podcast on all podcast sites.
So if I read this book and memorize it, do I know? I mean, do I really need a doctor ever in my life again?
Yes, you do.
What is that? The dictionary?
There are all kinds of crazy, obscure diagnoses that are not in that book. If we put everything that could possibly happen to you, and believe me, there's a lot of things that can happen to you in that book
that you could possibly do something
that
about.
That book would be as thick as the Empire State Building.
Look at this.
Like, literally. Right.
So we'll talk about, in the book, we'll talk about traumatic brain injuries, mm-hmm. but we won't tell you what to do if somebody shoots you right between the eyes, you know, with a 45, you know,
He put his number up there.
What number are you? Your number four. Four of the first 500. That's awesome, because we've got quite a few books out there now.
Number four. Wow. And you know what I did the first thing when I opened that? What was the first thing I did?
Find out who the other ones were. Call Charlie.
I called Charlie Hogwood.
I remember.
and he said he was number three, which I expected that. Oh. I mean, y'all were like neighbors.
He's literally one of the first people.
Yep, he was in our first survival group.
As a prepper, like, I don't think we knew another human being that was a prepper, because we were in South Florida and it's like, not like a big thing down there, but we got together with him and he was the other prepper that we knew in South Florida.
So before we take questions from everyone, this book is a must for every prepper. Don't you think?
It's like
the SAS survival guide.
That's a very good book.
Everyone has that in their bug out bag, or they have it. And this is definitely probably number two. I can't think of another one. But the information in here, I reference this all the time. I do fish antibiotics and bird antibiotics. I know exactly what to take them for, how long to take them, the doses and everything. But this is the most amazing book ever. And I love the color. The color version is amazing.
Yeah, we do too.
I wanted to do that since the beginning, but every time I contacted a printer, it was absolutely insane. And then I just bit the bullet this time, and he was like, "Why do you need color? I'm like, "I'm going to do a color this time."
Well, I'm glad she. I'm
he
glad
complained
she did.
And complained.
No, I yes, didn't complain
did.
That much.
Yes, she did.
Here we
yes,
go.
Yes, she did.
Oh,
why are you buying so many? Nobody's going to want to buy this.
Well, we got a guy in the chat.
I didn't stack to the ceiling.
I have to say that I am shocked by the response of people to the color book. And if you go to Amazon, you know. We're 4.8 out of 5 and over 2,500 reviews, you know, and 96%, I think, of them are 5-star. But our 1-star reviews are, this book is not in color.
Right. Yeah. Which Amazon doesn't
which
want
have
me.
To get
I'm not allowed on Amazon in the description to say, hey,
right.
color version or. The other one he complained that I shouldn't do was a spiral, but I did it anyway.
That's a must.
Talk about expensive.
As well.
That one was crazy. Yeah. That thing was hand bound, by the way. I want people to know that the company that does this for me actually wrote me this huge list, huge bullet pointed list with multiple people CC'd on it as to why I should not do this book.
Mm.
They were complaining. The paper is too thick. We can't use our machines. We're having to do this by hand. We don't have the right spiral size. And then I solved all their problems because I did my research. And I said, we're going to do this, folks. Everyone just take a deep breath. We're going to do this. It's going to be fine. I know you have to hand bound this. They have to hand cut this book in multiple sections to get the holes. And then they hand put the spiral in to do that. So these books are very complicated to make. The publishing house is so unhappy every time I place an order. Well, I'm like, I'm sorry. I need more.
But let me tell you why the book is actually unique. Why it's not just another decent first aid book.
Okay. I mean,
not just because it's 700 pages, but and covers so many topics, but because in every topic, you're just never going to see at the end of it, go to the doctor.
Right.
And take that person to the hospital.
No.
And even books like Where There Is No Doctor, which is in plain English, like, you know, meant for, you know, the average person to be able to read.
Right.
And that's what we did too, is made right. our, if you pass fifth grade, you can read this book. You know, basically we made sure that we would not write that anywhere right. between the front and right. back covers. Do right. not go to the doctor. Or no, we don't say don't go to the doctor. We just say, There is no doctor.
Right. We just
there is no hospital. There's
no way to go.
Right. The
and
entire book assumes
these are
that.
The things that you can do. And at the end of what you can do, if you can think of something else, great, because we haven't. We've literally right. got you to as far as we can think.
And it's brutally honest. Like right here, step 10. If you're at step 10, kiss your butt goodbye.
Yeah.
You don't know you put that in there?
Yeah. No. I don't know who put that in there, but we didn't.
That's reality, baby.
Okay. I added that.
But, I mean, basically, so even if you have somebody who you have to care for who's so sick, is basically hospitalized, but at home and bedridden, and you have to do everything for them. They can't get up. You got to bathe them. You got to feed them. You got to make sure they're hydrated, check their vital signs. I have a whole nursing care section in there, which is new for this edition.
Right. And the thing is that people may say, oh, I'm never going to have to take care of a sick person or in my home or a bedridden person. I have to deal with them on a daily basis and need nursing care. But the truth of the matter is, even the CDC itself said during the COVID epidemic, pandemic, if you have a mild to moderate case, and this is during the time the hospitals were being sort of overwhelmed with, you know, possible cases and things like that. You know, if you have a mild to moderate case, we prefer that you try to take care of that person at home.
Yep.
Right. Yep.
So,
yep. Don't come here. Stay home.
But they didn't explain what you should do for an epidemic sick room, whereas you'll find in that book, and in the big book too.
Yep. I got all the books. So, do you actually, you hire these out for other people to write them?
What?
Yeah. Gosh, I wish.
Y'all labor and it takes forever. So the question is, is there another book in the making? I mean, gosh, you guys cover everything.
Well, you know, I'm thinking of writing a book on nuclear preparedness.
Oh, okay.
And honestly, I think that might be the next one. I'm beginning to see things in such a way that something will happen. I mean, especially now that they have what they call dial a yield tactical nuclear weapons, that they have nuclear weapons that you can decide whether this warhead is going to be 5 kilotons, 10 kilotons, 25 kilotons, or 100 kilotons of nuclear weapon. And so what that's doing is it's making some of these crazier dictators think, well, maybe it's not such a bad idea. Maybe I'll just drop a 5 kiloton bomb on Kyiv. And Kyiv. Yeah, I know now they
Which
call
was
it Kyiv.
Kyiv. Chicken Kyiv is now Kyiv.
Kyiv.
Anyway,
Kyiv. And I can just imagine what's going to happen when that, you know, when that possibly occurs. So let's hope it never does. I'm not panicked about it. And I don't want anybody to panic about it. Uh-uh. You know, I know every time I mention something like this, you know, I guarantee you that somebody's going to be calling me a fearmonger tomorrow somewhere. You know, because that's always happened every time I've written about this kind of stuff.
All right, I want to answer a couple questions.
Oh, okay. Before you do that, hey guys, if in the chat room, if you see a couple people have already put like 3 question marks and a question, and when you do that, I'll throw it up on the screen here, and we can, if it's an appropriate question, and it's even if it's not appropriate, sometimes.
I'm sorry if I missed some of these questions.
No one was supposed to do questions until now. So we're waiting. I will answer Mike's question. This is not in the Kindle version. This is print only, and that's really what you need is print. So this is a reference book. This is like the SAS Survival Guide. You really need to know that in your brain. This is too much to know in your brain, and this is 18 years of probably education. Right? I mean, actually more than 18.
Way more.
But yeah.
Not only that, but he had 40 years of practice, and I had, I don't know, 25 years of practice. I mean, if you add it all up, it's ridiculous.
It seems like y'all would practice enough where you actually could start doing it. But anyway.
you would think we would.
So what medically prepared, what does that please define?
Basically, medically prepared means you are someone who has developed a fund of knowledge for the common medical issues that are going to occur in the disasters that are most likely to happen in your lifetime. Okay. And so, and that depends really on where you are, where you live. If you live on the West Coast, you should be prepared and have not only the knowledge of what to do, before, during, and after an earthquake. I'm talking about the West Coast now.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But you should also have the various types of material that's necessary to be able to function. For example, if you are in an earthquake area, then it's very important for you to have a medical kit, not only at home, but also in your vehicle, because you never know when something like that's going to happen, and it's probably going to make roads impassable. And so when that happens, you better have a not only a medical kit, but you better have a good broken in pair of walking shoes, because you may not be able to get home via the vehicle that you happen to be in.
Right.
So would you say it's kind of like ham radio? You just can't learn ham and then literally stop doing it. You have to continually learning and practicing and to become common, you know, or just instincts.
I can tell you that's true because we have our ham technicians licenses, but it's been a while since we've used our handy talkies, and we probably
shame on us, and we probably aren't. We just didn't have anybody to talk to on it really down there.
You can't consider us experts.
Yeah, I did that early. I did that in 2010. I mean, we did it a long time ago, and we just didn't know a lot of preppers back then. There was no prepper net. There was no network. There was no way to meet anybody. I was lucky we knew Charlie, and then he had met Courtney like a year after we met him.
I'll tell you why that's important. And we eventually wound up having several other people.
Yes, that we had made a little group, remember?
And that's the importance of, it really underscores the importance of community. And that's part of medical preparedness too, is to have not only be, have the ability to deal with issues that may occur in your family, but also to be able to care for people that are outside your family, because these people may have skills that you don't have. In other words, you know, I can take you apart and I can put you back together. and I'm serious. I'm talking about your belly. I can do that. Okay. But I probably aren't as good at making a shelter as the folks on Naked and Afraid and Alone and all those other places.
Right.
I don't know if I'd say Naked and Afraid, but I might say Alone. Okay.
Yeah.
They ain't afraid. They're just starving to death.
Yeah. I'm afraid you're not going to ever see me naked. But.
So let me, a question here. So ham, I'm a ham. I'm a general. I'm somewhat a nerd, I guess. But the ham people, they get together and practice like all the time. They have nets. They have antenna builds. And should that be something in the medical? Because we all go take a first aid class and we do wilderness first aid and we do these stop the bleed. We do what we can, but maybe medical people should start doing what ham people and start meeting and talking and discussing, you know, the things that they're learning and practice together. I mean, why wouldn't they?
And we have a lot of people like that. Like I said, a lot of the folks that are in our survival medicine group on Facebook, for example, the survival medicine, Dr. Bones Nurse Amy, they are EMTs or they are nurses or they're the family medic. You know, the people that I'm telling you that is the medically prepared person in the household. And, you know, we do talk about things, or we have a great moderator. His name is Ron Davis. I don't know if he's here tonight, but he's put together a huge library of files of all sorts of resources that are not even our books, you know, that can really, really are very useful. We probably have one of the biggest medical libraries in of a Facebook group in the entire internet, I would say. So
y'all familiar with Preppy Squirrel? She's got a question for you.
Oh, Preppy Squirrel. Hi, Preppy Squirrel. What antifungals products do you recommend, and are there allergy considerations as with antibiotics? Yes, you can be allergic to antifungal medications. I don't see that as often, I have to admit, as I see with many antibiotics, especially penicillin family antibiotics. I would suggest Lotrimin as a good stockpilable antifungal agent, especially for skin. Of course,
if you can get it in a powder form,
powder form,
it'll last longer. You could always, if you want to make it into a cream, you can probably mix it with a little Vaseline, lanolin, coconut oil, something like that. If you want to put it on to keep it to stay. And and maybe cover it if you have a small rash or something. But anything that's dry rather than the ointments is going to last a lot longer in your storage, which is what we're all looking for, is right. What is going to last the longest possible.
Next question. Your books are in audio.
Wait. Not done yet.
Oh, not done. I retract that question.
One of the antibiotics that you can get that's the next step up is an oral antibiotic called Diflucan. And Diflucan is still available in a fish antifungal called fish flucan.
Great
flucan
stuff.
Or fish aqua flucan. Or I think aqua flucan, I think is another option.
But it's called fluconazole.
Fluconazole.
Yeah. And fluconazole. That, right.
For people that have, and there's even actually a ketoconazole, which I have to actually check to see if it still is, but last time I checked, it still existed in a fish version. And that ketoconazole was used for people that have overall body fungal infection. So,
yeah.
So there are still like options. Now, everywhere. I don't know if they're going to remain options because the CDC and the DEA and the FDA are all saying they're going to have an increased stewardship,
right?
Quote unquote, on antibiotics in the future, and they use antibiotic resistance as their excuse for that. And I mean, that's all well and good, but you know, we still are giving tons of antibiotics to our food producing livestock, and that's not even to treat infections. That's because there's a statistical difference in how fast they get to market. How fast they grow if they're on antibiotics or if they're not. So the ones that are on antibiotics actually get to market sooner, and so they make a better profit. And that's why 79% of antibiotics in this country are given not to humans, but to food-producing livestock.
But also herbal.
And herbal, go ahead.
Herbal. Lavender, tea tree, very antifungal.
Garlic.
Garlic, rosemary, I've used apple cider vinegar.
Mm-hmm.
I think those are the biggest ones.
Fire.
I'm sorry to keep you going.
No, fire is a good one as well.
Fire, yeah, that would. Yeah. Nuclear weapon.
Okay.
Yes.
Challenge. You got to answer this next question in 15 words or less.
Okay. I know it's not possible.
All right. Sorry. Go ahead.
Is your books in audio?
You know, that's really interesting because Joe's son, I don't know if people who have followed us had kidney failure and was on dialysis from type 1 diabetes. And because of all of that and the high blood pressure.
Your 15 words are over.
He lost his – he actually had an eye removed and the other eye is 90% blind. So he is – technically,
what does that have to do with audio form?
Because he can't read.
Oh, right.
Audiobooks are very important to us, and
that's not sensitive of you.
Thought about it.
I
I was thinking about it because I saw somebody write that down, and you know, that could be a project for me. I wouldn't mind doing that.
700 pages.
I can read it just to, you know, you don't do it all at once.
She already determined she can read. She did determine.
Yeah, she has.
And I have a good storytelling voice because I read to my children since before they were born, and one's almost 35 years old.
So the book's going to start like this. It's going to go, once upon a time, there was a crazy old doctor who thought that the ambulance was heading in the other direction.
Okay, next question's on the screen here. Can y'all see the question? Take over hospital in Sudan.
Lee.
Yeah. Oh, that's kind of it's not really a medical question, but is it a false flag that in Sudan, the hostile forces? You guys keep up with current events. You can answer that.
Well, I can tell you that I think the problem with places like Sudan, where there's this civil war going on, is that there's not enough security to keep their laboratories safe. So if there is somebody who's fiddling around with viruses or have some kind of virology lab there, I can tell you for a fact that they're not following the same safety regulations that we have here in the United States, for example. And so the hostile forces in Sudan that apparently took over this virology lab, you know, could certainly, they couldn't do anything with it themselves, but they could sell whatever technology is there.
They're talking about a false flag, like drawing us into, you know.
Oh, you know, to draw us into Sudan?
Yes.
I think we probably do special ops all the time, all over the place. So, you know, wouldn't surprise me if we do wind up doing something there. I think we've tried to get some of our people out of there.
Well, let's just say I'm going on a trip here tomorrow.
To Sudan.
Okay. I can't verify. No. Here's a good question. I've always wondered this. In Florida, car gets hot. What medical supplies in your kit really degrades with being in a hot car?
So let's think about what's typically in a medical kit. Gauze. Not a problem.
Okay.
Forever. We've seen gauze in Civil War museums. God knows what they went through. They look maybe a little yellowed, but fine. Intact packages, still sterile. If it's torn, it's not going to be sterile, but you can still use it to stop bleeding. You use what you have to when you have to. Medications, same thing as food storage. We like them in dark, dry,
cool,
and cool. So those are going to degrade a little faster. Is your Tylenol going to be ineffective after the expiration date in a super hot car? No, but things start to get a little bit less effective over time. So you think about your tablets, your wipes. That's another thing that's, you have betadine wipes and alcohol wipes and sting relief wipes. If you don't, which is why I put everything in Ziploc bags. If you don't seal those paper outside containers of all your wipes, do not seal it. And I'm telling you, if I put a betadine wipe in my car in South Florida, in 1 week, it is a paper towel. It is not a betadine wipe. It is a paper towel with a stain of betadine. So you must put all your medical wipes in little Ziploc bags or whatever. Make sure they're sealed from the dryness, because those little paper containers are not enough. It's like your wet naps after you have your barbecue ribs. Those little containers, they're going to dry out after a while. So you have to watch your wipes. Your hemostatic gauze, I personally do not feel is going to degrade. Those are one ingredient products, and they're in very good sealed packages. So I don't think your Kytosam or your Combat Gauze or Quick Clot are going to degrade. I think those will be just fine. Your tourniquet's going to be fine. Band-Aids, anything with adhesive. Mm-hmm. Now you're talking about your tape, your Band-Aids. Once you get things hot, and this is especially true for duct tape, it gets like over sticky. It's going to stick to itself. Band-Aids, I find, just stop sticking. So you need to watch your adhesive things. Anything that's got like a chest seal, same thing. Your chest seal gets really hot. You may have an issue with chest seals. Yeah. So anything that's sticky, you have to watch out with the heat, unfortunately.
Okay. Another person asked about, you know, the audio and Kindle. And there's another question I'm going to refuse to throw on the screen. I'll answer that question because I don't want you guys to see the question.
Okay.
Gary asked, the answer is no. So everyone in the chat room can see what he asked. And I'm going to mention it.
I'll say, I can say.
Y'all don't like to touch that.
No, I don't mind.
You can ask
me.
We're
anything.
Okay. External.
Before.
No problem.
Wait, before there were your standard antibiotics like penicillin and things like that, there was silver. And silver has long been known to have antibiotic effects, antibacterial effects. Now, the thing is that there's a great deal of proof for its use on open wounds.
Right.
So skin on the skin and with open wounds,
burns.
Absolutely 100%.
Yep.
Love it. Do it. Use it. Now,
just because it has direct contact. It has direct contact in the wound. When you ingest it. Go ahead.
When you ingest it, see, silver is like
The Lonely Hearts Club.
All right, a member of the Lonely Hearts Club.
I know he's going
to say. And this is it because it's a it's positively charged.
Right.
And what it wants to do is it wants to get with a negatively charged ion, right?
And together.
Now, what it does in the body is it binds with chloride from the sodium chloride, the salt that's in your body, and it becomes silver chloride. Right. And silver chloride is known to be generally in the body to be inert. So
no effect.
Now
goes right out.
There's a lot of anecdotal evidence. A lot of people, you know, have testimonials that say that, you know, it's worked for them. You know what? If it works for you,
right.
You know, I have no problem with you using it. I mean, the worst thing that could possibly happen is you wind up turning blue from Argyria, which is the, you know,
oh,
from
God, can you imagine like how one much or two you ingest, people that like, have gallons. That
you'd have to,
for that.
You'd have to drink gallons of that stuff a day for that. So I have no problem with people using it. I'm just saying that I don't have as much scientific data for it internally as I do for it externally. Okay. So that's my feeling on that. And that's,
I tried to save you guys from that. Cause I know,
no, don't save us.
It's okay.
We need to be challenged.
Okay.
We need to be challenged. Don't, you know, let me put it to you this way, that what we say isn't dogma. And there are, if you line up 10 of us doctors or 10 of us nurse practitioners, and you ask us the same question, all 10 of us, you probably get 10 different answers. So, you know, what you're getting is my answers, or my feelings, our opinions from the mindset of someone who is trying to help the average citizen become a medical asset. That's me. And that's her. Okay.
Okay. So, next question. Come on.
Professor at Harvard is going to answer. Okay. No answers.
Amy.
The spiral version on Amazon is
color.
It's not in color. Oh. It's in black and white.
Host.
I just want to answer it.
I throw it up there. You can take it. So, but they can get, if I remember right, they can, from your website, get it in color, can't they?
Yes.
Store.doomandbloom.net. Yes. Is where I have all of our medical kits that we pack. It's where I put the color book and the spiral book. The only thing that's on Amazon is Amazon printed, KDP printed black and white books. They print them, they send them. We provided the text and they send that out.
Yep. And so they can go to your site and get color. The ones that buy from you guys are they signed? Some of them. Yes.
No, our signatures are always in them if they buy them for us. What may not happen is I ask them if they want it signed to themselves or if it's a gift to someone else. They have that option to check that. Because if you're buying it for a gift, they don't want me to sign it, you know, Dear John, and it's going to Mary, you know.
Yep.
So we let them check off if they want it signed personally or if they want us to just leave it off because it's a gift.
Okay, if someone wants to do, I know if someone wants to learn ham, they study for a test, they buy a radio, and they start training. If someone wants to start getting it in the medical field, we're not talking probably EMT here. We're just talking about being that family or group medic. And what does that path look like?
Okay, well, basically, it's actually pretty simple. Now, the ham radio classes that we took to get our technicians licenses were actually put on by the municipality. And there are many medical courses that are put on by municipalities as well. Many of them are free. So you might want to take a first responder course or a CERT course, or you want to take your CPR courses and things like that. And you wind up learning some very basic ways to deal with a number of different common injuries. Now, what I would tell you to do is, every time that you learn a module from one of those courses, learn it exactly as they teach it to you. But in the back of your mind, I want you to think, what would happen if I couldn't do what they tell me to do and take that person to the hospital? Mm-hmm. Basically, they're going to give you a goal, and that goal is going to be stabilize and transport. But what if you can't stabilize and transport because there's nobody to stabilize? To help you stabilize them, and nowhere to take them to, let's say, put them on a ventilator or things like that. What would you do in that circumstance? And so you always should have in the back of your mind what I would do if I wasn't able to access the miracle of modern medicine.
Wow. Okay.
Boo.
That was good. That was good. Here's another one. This one says, is it better to keep reinforced skin closure strips in over liquid bandages? So you use a liquid to close the bandage, your wound up. Do you put like strips over it? I guess that's what he's asking.
I think maybe he's asking, is it better? Which one is better?
Okay.
Is it better? I would say that the strips are better, butterfly bandages or Steri-Strips. If you use the benzoin tincture on either side. So the benzoin tincture creates like a sticky adhesive. And when you put the strips on, they'll stay on. So you can take a shower, you can wash the area. Liquid bandage is good, but it's very limited on what it can take care of. And your laceration or your cut needs to be very close together. Anything that's slightly pulled apart is going to be better with Steri-Strips to give it that tension. Because once skin touches, the healing process goes much faster. And liquid bandage is not going to bring things together. Liquid bandage is on the outside of the skin. It is not going inside and then bringing things together. So if you have something that has any kind of depth whatsoever, your liquid skin is only superficial. It's like caulking. And you don't put caulking inside of anything to bring it together. Caulking goes on the top. So it's a weather protector is what liquid bandage is for anyone who's used caulking, which if there's a person who hasn't used caulking, I don't know where they've been hiding. But that's the same principle. So I personally like the skin closure strips better.
Awesome. When is the new book coming out for Prolonged Caregiver? Is that a book you're putting together?
I think what they're talking about is like an expansion of that nursing care chapter that I have.
Okay.
And it's really funny that he says that because I wrote the titles to every one of the chapters of that book 5 years ago, 5-6 years ago. I have it in a drawer. And that's what I use. I based that thing that I outlined for a book to make the nursing care chapter.
Right. If you have it,
which I had to make it very small.
If you don't have the actual Survival Medicine Handbook 4th edition yet, take a look at that book and that chapter and see if it's something that interests you, her nursing care chapter. And if it's something that you want to go in deeper, you know, we can also put it together more articles on that are perfectly free also on our website. You have to realize, I hope people realize that at doomandbloom.net that we have over 1400 articles, podcasts, and videos on medical preparedness, and they're all absolutely free. I mean, so it'd be great if you buy our book, and you know, that's wonderful,
sure,
but
you put all my nursing care chapter on. I believe we made it an article.
No,
the nursing care. I have it.
We have some nursing care articles, but it's not the entire chapter,
but it's a lot of the information. Hmm. But yes, that was something that was really important to me, and I've been wanting to add it to the other books. And then this time, I actually had the time because it was COVID and we weren't doing anything else, and so I was able to write that chapter and get it in the book. But yeah, it's about prolonged care. Somebody with a broken leg, somebody with a broken hip. I mean, we're not talking 2 or 3 days of care. We're talking about weeks, months. You've got to bathe them. You've got to change their sheets while they're in the bed. I mean, you've got to change them so they don't get bed sores. If they get bed sores, what are you going to do? So all that stuff is in the book.
So this book here is how many pages?
700.
700 and something pages. If you count, I think it's 694 after the introduction.
And so I'm telling you,
I think there's some that are Roman numerals. I don't
you
know why
use
they do that.
Every inch. There's not like a header or a footer in this thing at all. I mean,
that's another reason they didn't want to do the spiral. They're like, there's not enough room to punch the holes.
And that's why it's not a 6x9.
You'll find it.
That's why it's not a 6x9 book like the previous editions, because it would have been 1,500 pages.
Yeah, it would have been this thick.
Yeah, and it's hard. You know, for this particular book, I think it's hard to be audio, and maybe you should do it. That would be fine, but I don't sit down and read this book. This is a reference book that I go to when I have issues. I guess I could read it and then take the medical exam and see if I pass. But it is not, I mean, it is, it's a reference book. And I mean, so anyway, I don't know. I don't, the audio version of that, I don't, with Amy reading it, I'm just trying to imagine that. And
I think with Amy reading it, would be worth the price of admission for just for that.
Well, people can listen to it before they go to sleep. I could be like, oh, what's that guy who
she has a very soothing voice.
What's that guy who has the television show that he just talks? He's so, he puts you to sleep. No, the guy who puts you to sleep.
Any
the tall guy with the red hair. He's pale as heck.
Oh, Conan O'Brien.
Oh my gosh. You make me watch his shows.
I do.
He's monotone. He does things very slowly.
No, no, it's not Conan O'Brien.
No, then. It's the television show where so-and-so puts you to
sleep. Oh, Para.
Joe Para. That. And what's the name of it?
Joe Para Talks You to Sleep.
Talks You to Sleep. There you go.
All right. Okay. Well,
Amy reads
all right.
The Survival Medicine Handbook back, and puts you to sleep.
Back to the subject at hand.
Is there anything you should not pack in a medical kit? And this is prior last question because we've been a little bit over an hour so far. And you know what? Hey, everyone, I want to tell you guys this. So I was concerned, you know, I'm like, okay, this is probably late for you guys because, I mean, some of us go to bed early. And I'm like, this is kind of late for you guys. And they're like, what do you mean late? We were on, what's that morning show you were on that at like 2 o'clock in the morning to four?
We were on Coast to Coast AM.
From one to three.
2 weeks ago?
Yeah, from
week and a half ago. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I'm losing
track. And I was thinking 9:30 was going to be too late to 10:30.
1 a.m. to 3 a.m. We actually went to sleep at 9 and slept till 11. Right. Yeah. Well, we were going to sleep till 12, but we both woke up at 11 p.m. and we were like, okay, we can't do this. We have to get up.
But yeah,
that was crazy.
Okay. So this, what should you not pack in a medical pit? I would say ammo.
Right. Well, you're right. Things that are not medical. Okay.
Right.
Basically, you need. If you have a medical kit, what do you need to do? You need to get to it fast, right? You need to go to get to where the tourniquet is fast. You need to go get to where the splint is, perhaps. And if you have your cans of beans there, and if you have, you know, your 38 special ammo there, you know, it's just not going to make it. So you really need to be able to access what you need to get to.
Yep.
Fast. And this is what I tell people about our medical kits. We have an entire line of medical kits and we put them together in ways that make sense to us. But what I want people
that make sense to me,
to you, especially to you, especially
that's
to you.
Why I do not let him pack my kits.
Right. But what we want you to do is we want you to take the kit. If you buy a kit from us, we want you to take it, open it up, take it apart. Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes. And
put see it what's in there
so that it makes sense to you.
No, I already made sense for you. Don't worry about it. I promise you. I am Miss Organization.
I am with Amy on this one.
I could take a huge box. If you guys saw the amount of supplies that I put into one of those big backpacks, it is a huge box. It's hundreds and hundreds of items. I have figured out how to get that into that backpack. I had a guy write to me in a panic attack. He was like, "Dear Amy, I don't know what to do. I'm freaking out. My wife emptied the backpack.
Oh,
I have a huge pile of medical supplies, and I don't know what to do. With
how to put them back together."
I was like, "Oh,
it's true.
He said, it's not going to fit.
That particular kit, you probably could make two additional kits out of it.
Thank goodness I have like a ton of pictures on the website. I say, first, look at the pictures. You'll see exactly where most of the things are. I said, what's left over? Give me the list, and I'll tell you exactly which pocket in the back, hidden underneath, that you need to put the rest of the stuff that's left over.
I took a Band-Aid out and couldn't even zip it back up.
I'm not allowed. See, people are like, oh, when I buy your bag, can I add? I'm like, no, you can't add. There's no such thing as that. I have packed them to the hilt. Worst I have stuff. To hold the bags
really
in my arms and zip them like
right.
Thankfully, those zippers will never break. That's how I know these zippers are like amazing, because they never break. And I have packed them to the hilt. Sometimes I gotta like squish them anyway.
Well, so it's been long. It's been, I mean, well, I didn't want to go not long because of the content. It's just that we tried to, you guys are so amazing. I want to keep you on for hours, and I always get yelled at for that. I can't watch it for 4.5 hours.
Someone's asking the survival medicine handbook. Let me just hold it up.
Did you see the question?
Yeah, somebody asked this question.
Oh.
The essential guide for when medical help, when help is not on the way. And remember to get the fourth edition.
Well, just look for this cover. Yeah, but the color book and the spiral book are only on store.doomandbloom.net. The black and white, you can find on my store if you want it, sign whatever, okay. Or you can find it on Amazon.
And these are good books.
We also have those if you want to add them in with the other with the survival medicine handbook in a 3-pack along
with the
and
USB.
You can even have the USB as well, which has all sorts of videos and things like that.
So tell everyone how to, I know you guys have on preppernet.net, you have your own little group, but how can people listen to your podcasts, read your articles and all that?
Okay. Everything is in one easy source, doomandbloom.net. At the top of that, I have a link. You can click on the YouTube. You can click on the Facebook. You can click on the Instagram. Everything, all of our little links are up there. Along the side is, or at the bottom of the front page, is a link that will take you to the store, a link that will take you to the Amazon if you want to go to Amazon and get the black and white book.
Lee, I just want to thank you, Lee. Our medical kits are HSA, FSA eligible.
And that's because they cover all first aid kits. And I have a specific category on store.doomandbloom.net that says FSA, HSA kits. And basically what they want to hear is first aid kit. So every kit has a second name. It's got my first name that I, you know, made up 10 years ago. And it's got a second name. It's the same kit. And it'll say first aid kit family, first aid kit compact, first aid kit. All they care about is those first three words are first aid kit. Mm-hmm. If you buy that, send me a note through my email, through contact. I also have a FSA, HSA card item that's zero cost. If you add that to your kit, your order, I will know that I'm going to send you a special receipt.
And just for, because some people might not know what that is. That's a medical savings plan, correct?
Right.
Yeah. Health savings account. Yeah. Is HSA, FSA is, what is it? What does it stand for? No, I forget.
Flexible.
Flexible savings account.
That's it.
Flexible.
Yep.
So your work may have one or the other, and all the money that's in there, some of the people lose it if they don't spend it by a certain time of the year. Sure. I don't know if it's your anniversary of work or December 31st, but you can use that money to buy first aid kits. Now, what you cannot do, they will not cover books. So if you want a book, you have to buy a kit and buy a book, and I will bundle that together on your special receipt that I email you as a one price bundled thing. Some of my kits, you can upgrade and add the book, and it's already bundled in, and that's not a problem. When I do the receipt, it's just going to look like that, but you can't buy a book. Unfortunately, they don't cover first aid books or any books.
Well, this has been awesome. That's all the questions I think we've taken care of. And I can't wait to see you guys this coming week.
Four days.
I have to say, Forrest, that of all the interviews that we've had recently, yours has been by far the most recent.
That's terrible. He doesn't mean that.
I'm kidding. You are awesome. You are awesome. We're your biggest fan for us.
Can
I get permission to use that? Because that was good. That was really good. Yes.
That would be a great starter.
Yes.
So
doomandbloom.net, listen to their podcast. He posts a lot of articles on preppernet.net, but go to doomandbloom.net. tons of information there, and easy search too. You can easily search the articles there. So, I can't wait to see you this weekend. Hey guys, everyone, thank you for joining us this evening, and we'll see you next time. So yes,
thank you, everybody.
Thanks for having us, Forrest. Okay. Thanks everybody who was here. Really appreciated looking at the comments.
Yep. Oh, thank you guys.
Thanks for listening to the Prepping Academy podcast. Preppers unite at www.preppingacademy.com.
Are you a prepper or homesteader looking to connect with like-minded people in your area? Looking to start your own preparedness group? Already have a group? Well, look no further than PrepperNet. PrepperNet is dedicated to personal responsibility, individual freedoms, and being self-reliant. PrepperNet has monthly meetings in over 100 cities where you can meet and learn with like-minded people in your area. PrepperNet, where preppers unite. Find us online at PrepperNet.com.